Scripture reading is from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 29, verses 10 through 14. I'm reading from the Common English Bible, if you'd like to join me in your pew on page 601. The Lord proclaims, "When Babylon's 70 years are up, I will come and fulfill my gracious promise to bring you back to this place. I know the plans I have in mind for you, declares the Lord. They are plans for peace, not disaster. To give you a future filled with hope. When you call me and come and pray to me, I will listen to you. When you search for me, yes, search for me with all your heart, you will find me. I will be present for you, declares the Lord, and I will end your captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I have scattered you, and I will bring you home after your long exile, declares the Lord."
One Sunday morning, as the pastor was coming out of his office, he noticed little Alex standing there in the hallway. And Alex was standing there staring at this plaque. It had all these names on it. And Alex just kept standing there staring at it. And the pastor walked by him and he thought, "Wonder what he's looking at so intently." And there stood Alex. Pastor looked at him. He said, "See that plaque?" He goes, "Yeah. What is it?" And he said, "That's a memorial plaque." He goes, "A memorial plaque?" He goes, "Yeah. That's the names of all who died in the service." And little Alex looked up at the pastor and he says, "Which service, 9 o'clock or 11? Something to think about. Today's going to be my last sermon here, ever. United Methodist Church has this thing that when a pastor is reappointed, we're not supposed to go back to the church. We can come back and visit after a year. Come and visit. We can't preach. So today's my last opportunity to stand before you and actually bring the Word of God to you in my way. Now, a friend of mine and of yours, Mike Rayson, was at a church recently. And Mike was reappointed to a new church because the church that he was at, he was receiving death threats from a member of the congregation. Death threats. Because he was from a foreign country. Mike took that opportunity to stand before a congregation and he preached for 2 hours and 45 minutes. Now you guys all know Mike Rayson. He's not afraid to say what's on his mind. I'm not going to stand here for 2 hours and 45 minutes. I'm not that smart. I can only do 2 hours and 30 minutes. So, with that, let me take my jacket off because it's going to get warm. I asked my wife this morning, I said, "Hey, do you have any clue where my watch is at?" She goes, "Why do you need it?" I said, "Well, 2 hours and 30 minutes. That's all they said I could preach." So that's what I've got. As a pastor, we like to think in our time before a congregation that every service I ever preached to you, you went home and you just resonated on those majestic words that just flowed out of me with just such great poetic imagery. And you lived that sermon and it changed your life because I am super pastor. Every pastor, when we go through school, we learn how to quickly change in our office and transform ourselves into being a person who's been belittled, who's been cussed at, who's been screamed at, who's been hollered at, to stand before the congregation and bring you the true word of God, leaving the rest of it behind in our office because we're a super pastor. Last time I checked, and I proved it this week, if you cut me, I bleed. You push me, I fall. When I hit the ground, it hurts. When I receive the news exactly 14 days ago that I was going to be leaving, I hit the ground. And there was sadness. I'm not super pastor enough to stand before you and say that there wasn't tears, that I felt like a failure. Because there was people in the congregation that literally hated me. And they were quick to announce that. I said I would never stand before a congregation and lie, and I won't. I've never lied to anyone. I've been accused of it. But never have I lied to anyone. When it comes to the Word of God, I teach you the Word of the God through my interpretation. I was told a year ago to never stand before the congregation and remind them that you're not reading this. I was told, as I stand before the congregation and remind you to read this, that I'm humiliating you. If it requires me to humiliate you to pick up the Word of God and open the Scriptures up and invite God into your life, then I did that. And I will do it again. 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 And I will continue to do it because God has called me to stand before you and give you the Word, because God realizes that we as a people are failures at following Him. We are a failure at following God because we take God and say, God, I've got time for you on Sunday mornings from 10 o'clock to 10:59, because 59 minutes is worship and 60 is an hour. Most of you, when I jokingly said that Mike Grayson preached for 2 hours and 45 minutes, some of you thought, there's no way in God's name am I going to sit here through that. I will get up and leave. Walk out on God if you'd like. He's never walked out on you. He stood before you and taken the abuse. He stood before you and taken the ridicule. He stood before you and heard you denounce His name to other people. He stood before you and watched you attack His church. And He never walked away. God does those kind of things in our life. If we look at today's text and we really look at it, we have to see things that a church thrives on a pastor. We hate to say that because the church is not a pastor. A pastor who tells you that it's their job to grow the church, and they keep hearing that in their head, they're lying to themselves. Roger, are they lying to themselves? A pastor doesn't grow the church, folks. A pastor is a shepherd. Now, we're going to do simple reproduction things here, folks, and I want you just to follow me one second. A pastor is a shepherd. A shepherd can produce little shepherds to become big shepherds. Sheep, you produce more sheep. I can't produce sheep. If we do, the National Enquirer would put it in the articles, and we'd all stand there in the grocery store, oh, look at that, pastor produces a sheep. Can't do that. That's the congregation's job. The pastor's job is to step before a congregation, and God's plan is for us to share the Word of God to you any way we can for you to engage that. Now, super pastor will stand before you and he will think these thoughts. If we have contemporary music played real loud that even our sound man who wears a hearing aid can hear, and I'm not saying Dean wears a hearing aid except one time he did, this was my dad's, and I found it in a drawer, and I'm going to see if it works. The sound man doesn't need to hear all of that, and that loud Christian contemporary music that in energizes us is not going to grow the church. Super pastor fails. What do we do next? Let's try some new engaging way to present the Word of God on the screen, and everybody stand there and go, oh, look at our new screen. Look at the words. We don't have to pick up and physically hold the Word of God any longer. It's on the screen. Has anyone in this congregation, any Sunday, when that's up there on the screen, not had your Bible in your hand and went home to check and make sure it was right? Putting a lot of faith in the guy that makes the slide, not the guy that wrote the word. Let's think about that. Super pastor can fail there. There's been times there's been typos up there. I've heard snicker and I've heard laughter and I've seen people point. If you don't like it, learn how to operate a computer and make the slide yourself. Just saying. As super pastor goes on, he likes to think these things here. If I, and super pastor needs to realize it's if we follow the plan of God, we will receive an abundance of blessings upon our lives that is so great, we will have too much. We will have way too much if we follow God. We can't choose just to follow God for 59 minutes on Sunday morning. We've got to follow God 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, even in times when you really don't want to follow God. Times when you're being attacked. Times when the people are lashing out at you. You've got to remember, you surrendered your life to the one who went before you. That's a tough thing to think about. Today's text was written hundreds and hundreds of years before Christ. Let's picture that. Jeremiah sits down as one of the prophets of the Bible and he sees a vision of what will happen. And then he lives the vision. They had been wandering around in the desert for 70 years. 70 years searching, hoping, praying that something would happen. Then God said this to him, I will make a difference in your world if you remember the covenant you made with me in my world. If you remember the covenant you made with me in my world, I will make a difference in your world. That's a powerful thing to hold on to in our lives, to see that none of us are super pastors. None of us are super sheep. None of us have kept that covenant 100% with Christ. But he continues to honor his side. Are we honoring our side? 2 Timothy 1:9 says this, "For God saved us and called us to live a holy life. He did this not because we deserved it, but because this was his plan from before the beginning of time, to show us his grace through Christ Jesus." Jeremiah 29:11 says, "I know the plans I have in mind for you, declares the Lord. They are plans for peace, not disaster, to give you a future filled with hope." So many people in the world today have their own little pity party. Have we all seen them? The folks that live in the me world, the my world. It's all about me. I've heard them words thrown at me recently. It's all about you, Terry. Well, it's not. It's all about God. I was talking with some dear friends last night. When I made the declaration to go into ministry, I was making close to $70,000 a year, folks. And I went to making 20. $70,000 to $20,000. Because God touched my heart and said, "I'm calling you to do something else." And since that time, I've watched my family grow closer together. I've watched an abundance come to my home. Recently, we went out, we bought $2,600 worth of new furniture. 15 years ago, I would never have thought about doing that. I drive a brand new car. I've got a daughter that's been put through college. I've got a wife that has a great job. And I had to realize in my life that I was created in the image of Christ. Just like each one of you are created in the image of Christ. And Christ was perfect. Let's look at that. Christ was perfect and you're in his image. Perfect. You are perfect at who you are. If you're a complete pain in somebody's backside, you're perfect at being that. If you're perfect at being a blessing in someone's life, you're perfect at that because you came before Christ. Christ created you in his likeness to be perfect. If you have fallen short, it's not because of Christ, it's because of you. It's because of me. If it was super pastor delivering you a sermon that you didn't like, that I stepped on your toes, get over it. Read scriptures and you'll find out that when it comes to judgment day, I'm held at a higher reckoning than you, because I've been called to tell you the truth. And if I didn't do that, I stand before God and he says, "Terry, did you tell Alpha United Methodist, the church itself, the truth? Or did you candy coat it because you didn't want the evil looks coming at you?" And I'm going to look at him and say, "I punched him right in the mouth with it. I gave it to him, God, because you called me to give him the truth. That's what I've been called to do. That was your plan, God, not mine." My wife would tell you, in my life, there are defining moments in my life. The hugest defining moment in my life is when I laid in the street for 4 hours, face down, dying. And God told me that my life wasn't over. That was a defining moment for me. I put down the alcohol and walked away from it. I held on to the anger of being attacked, of being brutalized. I held on to that anger. And I put it away about 15 years ago until about 7 months ago. And 7 months ago, it came back. Am I happy about that? No. Not a bit. That's not what God called me to be. God called me to be loving, forgiving, and humble. It's taken a lot for me to do that. As people drive by my house and point me towards heaven with their middle fingers. As people look at me in the sanctuary and do the same thing. And I realize that Christ is hanging behind me. So when the looks of evil thoughts and the daggers and the finger pointing and things come at me, I was created in the image of Christ. And I'm perfect. And I celebrate those moments. I celebrate those moments that when I knelt before the bishop and he said, I'm sending you to shepherd the flock. That was a defining moment in my life. I ask you to search your hearts and find the defining moments in your life. The moments when you can feel God at work in your life. Then when you rise up from that defining moment, you look at Christ and you say, here I am. Send me, because I am perfect in your eyes. I'm perfect because I walk with Christ. Many people ask me in the last 14 days, if my final scripture was going to go along with the passage in the Bible where Jesus dispatches the disciples out to the people. And he tells them to go to the area that need the word. And he says, when you get there, there's going to be people there that's not going to like you. They're not going to listen to you and things. And when you get to that moment, sweep the dust off your sandals and walk on. Because some people don't know who I am. Think about that. If you're that person, you need to find God. Not a social club. Not a country club. Not a place where you think you can shine. A place where you can come and devote yourself to Christ. Serving Him. Not yourselves. Please join me in prayer. Gracious God, as we stand before you today, Lord, we thank you for all the opportunities that you blessed us with. We thank you for allowing the Evans family to be part of this church. In your name we pray. Amen.